And welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road is live out in Indianapolis at the Underwear Olympics, also known as the NFL Combine. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thanks. I hope you guys enjoy the beautiful piece of hotel room art behind me. I've carefully stationed this camera so you could enjoy it for the whole show. I might steal it.
Well, it's quite the zen, as Phil Jackson would say back there.
Good word. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you very much.
It gives me peace. Gives me great peace.
Well, it brings peace to me that it brings peace to you. Michelle, good morning. How are you doing?
Doing great, guys. Got about 8 hours of sleep, so we're feeling good this morning.
Yeah.
We're feeling good. It's a milestone right now.
Michelle's recharged. Solid. Ready to go. Joe, how excited are you for the beginning of the NFL Combine today? I know this is a day that you have marked on your calendar every year.
Yeah, really excited. That's funny because I've been hanging out with a whole bunch of NFL media who will be here all week watching them run, and actually now they're letting people in a lot more this year, and it's just like I am so glad I'm getting out of here. I actually wanted to leave today, but Vrabel is talking not till like 4, so it will be tomorrow morning after the show, unfortunately. But the most exciting part about the Combine every year is leaving the Combine.
That is true. Looking forward to that. So Rand Carthon speaking later today for the Titans. Mike Vrabel speaking later today as well. So, you know, it'll be really, I guess, the second time that we've formally heard from Rand Carthon since he was introduced as general manager of the Titans. So I am looking forward to that. I don't know exactly what all is going to come from it today later. With the Titans, but maybe some newsworthy items from Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel later today.
Yeah, I'm very interested, you know, in particular, just to hear, you know, and it's going to be like it always is at this thing. It's going to be heavy analysis of every syllable and what it might mean. They're not going to come out and say, we're doing this with Tannehill or this with Derrick Henry, but I think we may be able to pick up some clues today. And, you know, last year at this thing, John Robinson kind of broke down, you know, in an emotional moment with, you know, talking about the playoff loss. This year, Vrabel's not doing the big group. He's not doing a podium. I guess Vrabel's got the clout. He doesn't have to do a podium. He's just doing the locals, so, which is fine with me, but it's just interesting.
He just wants to talk to you. He misses Joe Rexroad and wants to get in there and talk with you.
I think he requested a one-on-one with me, but it's going through the channel.
You declined it. You were like, no, thank you.
We don't need to do that, Mike. Just we'll just get out there with everybody else.
My agent is considering it. So
okay,
we'll see.
Good. That's good. Well, looking forward to what the Titans have to say later today. Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, we're going to get into that later in the show as well. So we'll take your thoughts on that on our text line, 615-737-1025. The news of the day yesterday, Barry Trotz introduced as the second general manager of the Nashville Predators. And David Poyle formally addressing his retirement yesterday as he plans to step away effective June 30th. So that'll be right after the NHL draft and right before free agency is set to begin in the National Hockey League. Joe, you were out in Indy yesterday and you didn't get much of a chance. You joined us for a little bit yesterday to comment on all this. I'm just interested from your thoughts on how this whole thing has come to be over the weekend with David Poyle stepping aside. Effective June 30th, July 1st, Barry Trotz will be taking over as the second general manager of the franchise. We've talked about the trades yesterday with Nino Niederreiter and with Tanner Janot. Based on some conversations I had yesterday, I would not be surprised if there are more trades coming this week, so keep your eye on that. But what do you make of this whole situation that is unfolded with the Nashville Predators with Barry Trotz stepping in?
Did I say holy crap yesterday? If not, I'd like to say holy crap. I mean, talk about that's the newsiest weekend for the Nashville Predators since, I don't know, like they decided to stay in town?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
I mean, unbelievable. And, you know, as it turns out, pretty carefully, carefully planned and I did, by the way, I watched, you know, the Poyle, the whole presser yesterday on the Preds official site. But as Poyle said yesterday, you know, he's a planner And obviously, this is not this is this has been a long time coming here with this situation. And you know, it's a huge deal. I think it's good for David Poile. I mean, I think the time is right. I'm really interested with Barry Trotz. I have a little bit of skepticism just about just not like what he's done. I think will translate. You know, I think if you connect with people and you, that means that you probably are good at analyzing people, you know, and I think that there's a lot of things that do translate, but it is very different, right? I mean, the jobs are very different. And I do, one big thing I took away from yesterday is basically it's everything else is going to stay the same in that front office, right? I mean, that's what that's, and I feel like this would be, I feel like Barry Trotz should bring in someone new, just to have, and I know he's fresh eyes, obviously he's a new GM, but you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to shake things up a little bit more. I understand if you shake things up at the top, you shook things up, but you know, I saw a lot of the video clips from Trotz yesterday at his, including from Michelle. Good stuff, Michelle.
Thanks, Rex.
You know, at his podium, and he was talking about, and he kind of acknowledged the, and I don't remember whose video this was, but he kind of acknowledged like the forward defenseman thing, right, with the Preds.
Yep.
Like basically, you know, like some people, teams have an identity, and that's been the Preds, and that's fine. It's been winning hockey, but like you need to improve that part of the identity, right? So that's a long-winded way of saying, look, I think it's, I mean, Barry Trotz is an unbelievable coach. I don't know anybody who knows him who doesn't love him. I think he has a chance to be good, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of takeaways that I've got from yesterday. Number one, as you said, the David Poile part of this, we, you know, part of the questions that we talked about yesterday, Adam wondered, well, why now? Why the timing of the Barry Trotz thing now? And David Poile said yesterday that heading into the year, they had conversations about this being David Poile's final year heading into the season. So apparently that was always part of the plan, that this was going to be the final year and that David Poile was going to step away from the general manager job at the end of this season. Now, as it became clearer that Barry Trotz wasn't going to continue coaching, because as we've discussed, there were heavy interest in Barry Trotz continuing coaching both last offseason and as this season has gone on. As it became clear that was less and less of an option and that he was more and more open to staying around in Nashville and being a part of the Predators organization, Barry Trotz and David Poile talked, and Barry Trotz kind of threw himself into the hat for being the general manager, or at least being considered to be the next general manager after David Poile told him about his situation. So it's kind of gone from there, and David Poile and Barry Trotz and the Predators brass came to that decision, and that's what the way that they've gone. Now, a lot of people still wondering, okay, well, all that's great. Why now is the timing of it in terms of your announcing it? And that's a discussion that we can have here in just a few minutes. Another takeaway that I had from yesterday, Barry Trotz, when it comes to commenting on the current state of this roster, was not going to offer too much yesterday. And, you know, he was asked about the status of John Hines. He was asked about, you know, the status of rebuilding, retooling, all these different things. And, you know, basically wasn't willing to go there, said it would be unfair for him to comment on all that stuff right now. And he's got to own it, in his words, before he can comment on all those other things. So the John Hines part of this is really interesting. And what exactly Barry Trotz's thoughts are in terms of how much of a teardown is going to be required here, right? Because, you know, he confirmed that he's been involved in the discussions in the trades over the weekend with David Poile, but ultimately these were David Poyle's moves to make the trade for Nino Niederreiter, to make the trade for Tanner Janot, and that he's been involved in those conversations, but it was Poyle's moves. So as they continue to evaluate the roster from now until Friday, how many more people could be moving? And I don't think that conversation stops Friday. I think you can continue that conversation into the offseason when Barry Trotz officially takes over. How many more people could be on the move? And how exactly does he view this roster in terms of tearing it down. Barry Trotz not quite willing to go there yesterday in that setting.
Yeah, and I thought the comments on the Hines question were very interesting. Like you said, yeah, you got to own it, and he sort of had, you know, to paraphrase, well, you can. It's easy to, you know, sit up there and judge someone, but he wants to. He had a good point. I mean, you don't, as a GM coming in, you don't see many situations where you get a couple months basically to evaluate a coach in a team that's still, you know, fighting for a playoff spot. I mean, I don't think they're going to get one given the state of this roster, but I'm, you know, tell the guys in that locker room that they should stop playing, you know? I mean, I think people are playing for their jobs right now. So, that makes sense. That makes sense that he was not going to come in and just be like, yep, then I'm going to have my own coach too. I do have to. Gover yesterday had a tweet. Did you see this tweet?
I don't think so.
I saw.
Well, his tweet was, it was like basically like the whatever was said, but he's like, and this kind of explains why Hines wasn't at the presser. And I was like, oh my God, Hines wasn't at the presser. Oh, he's so fired. And then basically he meant he didn't talk. You know what I mean? But anyway, there. For a moment. Yeah, he was there, right? He was like front row, right?
Yeah.
I'll go over. It's okay. We all have bad tweets.
615-737-1025. We're off and running this morning on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on Barry Trotz, David Poile, and the Nashville Predators. What did you make of Barry Trotz and David Poile's press conference yesterday? And what do you make about the direction that this franchise is headed given this past weekend's events? We'll take your thoughts on all of it. 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
What's this like for you? First head coach in team history, and now get to be the GM, get to work with David for a little bit more, and then you'll take the reins July 1st.
It's surreal. When I got the job in Nashville in 97, I was, you know, it felt real, but it didn't feel real. I have that same feeling, but with the same love. It's so great because I look around and I'm going to be working with people that I've known. I have relationships. I look at it with staff members, all that. It is the best thing that I could ever wish for in this position, and to be coming back to a place that I love, not only the team but the city, and this was home. And it always has been home.
That was Barry Trotz on with Chase and Willie yesterday. Joe, I felt like a proud father yesterday, just sitting around at the press conference. All these youngins, Michelle walking around, Emma with the Predators walking around, Max Herz walking around, experiencing the Barry Trotz press conference for the first time. It was a beautiful thing.
It was.
Just watch it unfold and how long he can go with his answers. And it's always good. I enjoy it.
Yeah, those good answers too, you know,
yeah.
Like not just, yeah, like really interesting and insightful. That's the thing, you know, when you're the coach, you talk all the time, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, when you're the GM, I mean, there's a lot less of that. So I wonder if, you know, if there's any way he can do like more media than the normal GM.
I hope so. We'll see what happens.
Just have a weekly presser with Trotz.
it's our weekly catch-up with Barry Trotz out there. No, it was a lot of interesting things yesterday on that front in terms of just the job that he's got in front of him moving forward here. I'm with you. Like, I think this has been a rejuvenating move for a lot of the Predators fan base. That's probably the way that I would describe it. There have been people that I have been interacting with on pretty much a daily basis on Twitter that I can tell you have been down and out about this team, that are reinvigorated based on the moves that they made this past weekend. We've talked about that. Like, I think this fan base was, yes, angry. I think they were reaching, some of them were reaching a point of apathetic to what we were watching out there. And I do think this move has revitalized the fan base to a certain degree. Now, all that's great, and all that I think is sometimes short-lived. Now it's what do you do with it if you're the Predators and if you're Barry Trotz specifically. And I'm with you. Like I am very fascinated to see, yes, how it goes, but really what his approach is. Like his approach to the job is really fascinating to me because obviously he's never been a general manager before. He's never been in a front office before. Now, as he pointed out multiple times yesterday, you know, he's been around long enough where he's been through a lot of these type conversations. So I have no doubt in my mind that Barry Trotz is capable of doing this. Now, there are a lot of people that are capable of doing it that it doesn't always work out. So we'll see what happens on that front. But just the approach that he brings to the job. I mean, you brought up what he talked about yesterday. Like, I think the phrase he used was every franchise kind of has their niche, and the Predators have had theirs with defensemen and certainly with goaltending. And one thing he brought up repeatedly yesterday was, you know, they have struggled to find center icemen down the middle. And you know, they've not been bad enough to find those game-changing level center icemen. And when they've had some good center icemen, it's usually come via trade. So he said, I think his quote was, we got to find our guy. And that's what he talked about. We got to find our guy. And, you know, it's a long, arduous process sometimes in order to do that. And they brought up multiple times. I mean, they have stockpiled, thanks to the Jeannot and Niederreiter trades, they got a whole lot of draft capital over the course of the next 3 years that they've all of a sudden put together here. So you can use that draft capital in the draft, and you can also use that draft capital that you've built up to make trades if you want to. So I'm really interested to see what his approach is here. And we talked about this yesterday with Adam, Joe. You know, I think a lot of people view this as an inside hire, and I get it because he was here a long time, and obviously he has deep roots in this franchise. So it is an inside hire in a way. But he also was gone for 9 years, and he was in Washington, and he was in New York, and he got different perspectives, different experiences, and he talked about that a lot yesterday too. Like, I'm interested how all that kind of meshes together and how that influences what Barry Trotz's approach is going to be when he steps in the job as general manager.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. Again, here's the question. Like, his point, certainly well taken, like, you to get that game changer, that great player, sometimes it's luck, and, you know, sometimes it's just you're terrible in the right year, you win the lottery, whatever. But just overall, you know, forwards, right? I mean, it hasn't been good. So is that systemic? I mean, are the Preds, we know that some of the Preds, you know, decline in recent years. You can trace some of that to just, I think, just poor decisions, right, that went wrong. Which, again, raise my hand, you know, most of them in the moment weren't, you know, roundly criticized, right? It's a lot of Monday morning quarterback. But look, that's his job to do it. He made mistakes. But like over all that period of time, and I know there's also been different people in that front office during that time, is there a systemic blind spot with forwards?
Well, I mean, it's a fair question because, look, for a while, I mean, they were a defenseman factory, right? I mean, they were drafting Ryan Suter, Shea Weber, Dan Hamhuis, Zdlicky was in their organization. I mean, Seth Jones, Samuel Girard. I mean, we can go up and down the list of the defensemen that they have drafted that have turned out to be really, really good players in this league. Goaltending, obviously. I mean, from Vokoun to Rene to Saros, maybe potentially to Askarov. We'll see what happens with that. I mean, they've been about as good as it gets when it comes to identifying goaltending and identifying defensemen. Now, I will say the defenseman part of it has dropped off over the course of the past few years. Number one, they've not drafted a whole lot of them. And number two, you know, some of the ones that they have not worked out, which, by the way, I would put Fabro on that list, and I would keep an eye on him this week. But the forward part of this has always been something that they've never really been able to find that guy. Like, who is the best Predators forward that they've ever drafted? And, look, Philip Forsberg wasn't drafted by them. He was a trade. Now, he's essentially grown up in their organization. He got here when he was 18. But who's the best Predators forward that they've drafted? I mean, Arvidsson was pretty good. You know, Patrick Hornquist was pretty good. They found him with the last pick in the draft. I mean, There's a couple. Hartnell was pretty good. I mean, you can go find some guys that they've drafted that have been good, but they've never drafted a forward, in my opinion, that really comes anywhere close to the word elite.
Right. Now, I think Tomasino has a chance to be very good, and it sounds like Barry Trotz thinks that too, by the way. You know, we'll see with some of these Kimmel and the little kid who's eluding me right now, who I know is very talented, help me out, Evangelista.
Yep.
You know, we'll see. And obviously, I guess we'll see if, well, look, Fiala is a very talented guy
very
that they
talented.
Drafted.
Yep.
And we'll see maybe, you know, if why are names escaping me? Are we watching my brain just completely break down in real time? Holy crap. The dude who just went to Seattle, what is wrong with
him? Tolvanen?
Holy crap. Yes, we'll see if he's good. And, you know, maybe he's
late
a
night in Indy last night.
Every year. Right? What's that?
Late night in Indy last night. Charles, get a hold of
it. Really wasn't. It wasn't. No.
Sure, Joe. Sure.
I think I was in bed at 11. That's not bad.
Not bad.
Yeah. No. So there's some talent that they've brought in. But yeah. So to me, it's not even like it's yes, of course you want the elite guy, but yeah, you need more hits. You know. Just hits. I suppose if you continue, and like you said, the defenseman thing's dried up. Some of them traded away, but that's dried up a little bit. Fabro has obviously been a miss, right? But I guess if you continue to be elite in those two other areas, you can always make trades and keep bringing it forward, right? I mean, you can do that way. But, yeah, I just feel like I feel like another personnel – person hot shot to bring in might be a good idea. Almost like, okay, so Amy Ann of Strunk, you know, with the Titans coaching staff, right? Like, you know, she clearly is just like, you know what? Okay, we'll throw more money at it if you need to, you know, beef it up, or like maybe another person in that front office from the Preds. Just spend more money, ownership group.
Yeah, maybe so. Now, Craig on the text line says, I think the fact Trotz went to Washington and New York and saw how impactful centermen are firsthand will drive him to find one or two of them. This is from Craig on the text line.
But didn't he know that? I mean, I think he knows. I mean, obviously he knows hockey, right? I mean, like, I mean, he's an expert on hockey. He's a great coach. So yeah, it's just a matter of can you get in position sometimes, but also two, the evaluation and the choices.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. Press conference yesterday with Sean Henry, David Poyle, and Barry Trotz, and it was pretty interesting press conference yesterday. And Barry Trotz and David Poyle had a whole lot to say. We'll have David Poyle coming up later on our show today at 8:30, so looking forward to that as well. And Joe, we mentioned earlier that Barry Trotz was asked about the status of John Hines and his evaluation of him yesterday. Here's what Barry Trotz had to say on John Hines.
Barry, when it comes to sometimes when you make a new move at general manager, and then it's immediately attached to, okay, so what's going to go on with the head coach, you know?
Yeah.
For you, you know, what do you know about Hines and just about the job he's doing?
I'll say this. I always realize, I've been in coaching for a long time, so I know when a team is well coached. John is a really good coach. I know Dan Lambert. I know they're all good coaches. The biggest thing for me is that from now to the end of the season, I'm just going to evaluate, because it's easy to sit up and watch and judge. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. But when you're with people day in and day out, as a coach, you're 24/7, but you get long days, and you know the players, and you see them away from the rink, all that. it's way different. So what my assessment right now would be unfair, because you really, and I go back to Mitch Cornism, if you will, you don't know till you own it. And I'm going to get an opportunity, which is not too many GMs that are coming in get that opportunity to sort of evaluate and see from the inside, which is, to me, before I can make any judgments on anybody, be it players, coaching staff, any part of our organization, I have to be part of it, because it would be really unfair. And this is a well-run organization, so I don't think I have to do a whole lot, of restructuring or anything like that. But I will evaluate, especially for a good month or until the end of the season, really.
So that was Barry Trotz yesterday on the status of John Hynes. And, you know, a few interesting things there, Joe. Talking about the organization as a whole, doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of restructuring that needs to take place, but he will evaluate, is what he said. And we talked earlier about the comments of owning it and being around Hynes and having this next couple of months to evaluate the job that he's done. If you're John Hynes right now, what are you thinking about this situation? And what do you make of, I guess, your job status right now, if you're John Hynes, given everything that's happened over the course of the past 3-4 days?
Well, I don't think you can feel secure, but I don't think you did before. The difference being, and this is just my opinion, like, David Poile could not have, stood up and fired John Hynes and been able to explain it. You know, like, now that's not a problem. You know, it's just like with any, like in college athletics, if the AD who hired you is still in the job, you have more security as a coach, right? Than if you're kind of on the fringe, than an AD who didn't hire you, who isn't admitting that he or she made a mistake in hiring you. So, I don't think that John Hynes should feel comfortable. But also, if you're John Hynes, obviously, I'm sure you've gotten to know Barry Trotz some here, even though apparently some of these meetings have been like in his house, Poile sneaking in the middle of the night over to his house so no one sees him. But if you're Hynes, certainly, I mean, listen to that quote from Barry Trotz. You got to feel like he's going to give you a fair shake and truly evaluate you. And he's a coach, so he respects the profession and he knows what you're doing. Look, I know that people that I trust around this team respect John Hynes as a coach, like respect what he does on a daily basis. The results are the results. So at some point that may cost him his job. It's interesting too, because I understand there's a lot of Preds fans who are just desperate for Hynes to be fired. And some people who think that he has been the bigger issue here, which I think you and I both disagree with. But it's interesting, as they move into this this next phase, Hynes is like a developmental coach. He's supposed to be like coach with a young team, like a young rebuilding team. He might that might suit what he's supposed to be, right? You could go get a more accomplished coach, a proven coach, a coach who has won a cup, or just a coach who has had more success in the league. But at this point, how attractive is this job right at this moment for the next couple of years? It could be some bad teams.
Well, it could be. And to the point about development, right? Because there are a lot of Predators fans that will say, well, yeah, we know John Hynes is supposed to be a coach that develops talent. Well, where's that? Like, Tolvanen went to Seattle, and all of a sudden he's flourishing, and it's not there. Like, where's the talent development? Well, I'll say this. I think you're about to get a pretty good look at it if you're the Predators. Like, I mean, they're going pretty clearly younger here, at least for the rest of the season. And I don't know how many more moves they're going to make this week. I would be very surprised if there's not at least another one that gets made later this week. And we've seen Novak step in. Tomasino's now stepped in. Cody Glass, Barry Trotz talked a lot about him yesterday. I mean, the younger guys are going to get some chances as they move down the stretch here to close out this regular season. So, you know, if Novak continues to play well, if Tomasino plays well, if some of these younger guys step in and play well, Does that help John Hines when it comes to Barry Trotz and his evaluation of this? Because I agree, like, depending on how deep this goes here, like, I do think there's a chance they could be in for a lean year or two coming up here as they try to reset and reevaluate what they're doing here. And from a head coaching perspective, do you go out and do you hire an experienced head coach, or do you want somebody that is good with younger players that you want to be kind of a developmental guy for you? And can John Hines be that guy? I don't know. Like I said this last week, if this continues to go this way and the season ends and they're out of the playoffs, my betting money is John Hines is probably not back next year as head coach. And I would probably still stick by that. Anytime you change the general manager, you know, it's a lot of times that means a change at head coach too. But I agree with you from the standpoint of I do think Barry Trotz is going to give John Hines a fair shake in this. And if he determines that John Hines impresses him and does a good job as he continues to evaluate here, then maybe there's a chance he keeps him around. I at least think he's going to give him a shot here over the course of the next couple of months.
Yeah, the one thing we don't know is, does he have a particular person strongly in mind?
Right.
You know? Someone who has been on the bench with him, because you could still go the quote unquote, you know, young developmental coach way with someone else.
For sure.
And maybe he has someone in mind. If he doesn't, and he's just got an open mind, it's a clean slate right now, then yeah, I mean, I think that John Hines is coaching for his job in the next couple months. And I don't know if that's like, is that if they win, if they actually still hang in, and I mean, gosh, could they still get in the playoffs? I mean, it's possible. It's not like there's so little talent remaining on the current active roster that they couldn't win hockey games, you know? And sometimes things like this jumpstart a team. You get the young guys going, you get some guys who, again, are kind of like fighting for their jobs or whatever, and you never know. Like, so is it results or is it just like the daily sort of observation of how he goes about his business as a coach? I imagine it's somewhat both, but probably more the latter than the former, I think.
Well, I'm interested to see how that part of it goes, because based on some conversations I had yesterday, I mean, the Niederreiter and Janot moves sent an absolute jolt through that locker room based on some conversations that I had yesterday. And look, I know it was Arizona, so I don't know how much stock I put into it, but they did come out on Sunday night, play pretty darn well, and they kicked the crap out of Arizona, and they've been scoring a whole lot of goals lately. Now, they've also been playing some bad teams. So, you know, Pittsburgh's not a juggernaut by any stretch of the imagination, but they're at least a playoff borderline team that they're going to be playing tonight. Another playoff borderline team coming up on Thursday against Florida. So you're not playing the dregs of the NHL over the course of this week. So in the aftermath of this, and you know, not only even the aftermath, I mean, if you're in that locker room right now, you got to be at some point probably looking around and saying, all right, well, who's next? Like, who's going to get shipped out of here next? Like, how does this group respond through that with everything going on? Because based on some conversations I had yesterday, quite the jolt sent through the locker room over the course of this past weekend.
I bet, you know. And of course, this week is still, you know, there's a lot of guys in there who absolutely could be looking to, you know, get some boxes together real fast and pack up a suitcase. After this week, then you know what you've got. You know, this is the group, you know. So what does that do, you know, to the team psychologically? Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how they play. And look, I'm interested. I almost feel like you might have some better atmospheres too, you know, with the fans. Kind of one, you get to see some. I mean, I have heard from some fans, they're like, well, I wasn't going to get tickets next year, and I am now.
Yeah.
Because of this move, which is interesting, because it's like you basically know, like on paper, you're not going to be as talented next year, you know. But this has, like you said earlier, I mean, this has been rejuvenating for fans.
615-737-1025. Let's open up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's take your thoughts on the Preds. 615-737-1025. We'll continue that conversation coming up next. And one other part about this decision to hire Barry Trotz that I find very interesting that we'll get Joe's thoughts on as well. That's ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Preds fans, hang out tonight before the Preds game at the Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway with 102.5-106.3 The Game. Place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials. Plus, enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins. We'll have John Glennon coming up at 7:30. Get his thoughts on David Poile and Barry Trotz. And then we'll have David Poile coming up at 8:30. So looking forward to all that on the show here today. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. So, Joe, one thing that Trotz brought up a few times yesterday, and, you know, it's nothing that he was outright coming out and saying that they were going to do, but he did bring it up a couple of times, was with the amount of draft capital that they've now acquired in the Niederreiter trade and in the Janot trade, which I'm still having to check my head to make sure was real the other day.
Yeah.
They've got a whole lot of draft capital that they've acquired over the next 3 years. So David Poile, I mean, I had a conversation with him yesterday and he said, you know, that's a part of the plan, is to acquire a bunch of draft choices. And they've been able to do that. And you'll hear a part of that conversation coming up in the next segment with David Poile. But Trotz did bring up multiple times, yes, you've got the draft choices, and yes, you know, he went through kind of the process of how he views draft choices and talked about, I mean, it's basically he views it as like a six-year window, and what he talked about was when can a player play in the NHL, but when can a player carry you in the NHL? And he talked about, you know, as his experience as a coach. And there are exceptions to this rule, but most of the time he's found when you draft somebody that ends up clicking for you, it's really around 24 through 28 is when they really carry your team and carry your franchise. So he's talking about you draft them at 18 and they can't really carry you until 24. That's a six-year window. So what do you do there? He said, you know, you've also got a lot of assets that you've collected with the draft picks that you can use to make moves at that point. And I do wonder, with some cap space that they're clearing and with some draft capital that they've acquired, you know, the draft's here this summer. We'll see what other moves that they make. But I do wonder how active David Poile / Barry Trotz will be this offseason with the cap space that they've now acquired. And is there a deal or two that's out there to go get maybe one of these guys down the middle that they could be planning on? I mean, Barry Trotz has talked about, you got to find the guy down the middle, and that could come via the draft, that could come via trade. I do wonder how active they plan to be with the draft capital that they've now accumulated, and are they going to hold on to it, or are they going to weaponize it and use it to go make trades? That is an interesting thought that you now have at your disposal if you're Barry Trotz and the Predators.
Yeah, it seems to me like they should use it, and they should, you know, have a lot of prospects and replenish again. Obviously, there've been some good prospects selected, right, who right now are on a good trajectory, but I just feel like this is the time to actually use picks and not, I mean, I guess my question would be, okay, so who are we talking about here?
Right.
And what kind of impact in the short term does that person have in terms of like this team's bottom line? I mean, look, you can always make the case with the Nashville Predators that when you have a goalie as good as UC Saros, you should try to win, right? And some of the other players that will certainly be here under contract. But I just my initial instinct is actually draft people.
Yep.
You know, actually draft people and have prospects, not just picks, and you know, and you can always, of course, weaponize that later too.
Well, I agree. Now, my only hesitation to that in terms of what they could be thinking is they've got that next wave coming. Like they've talked about it 1,000 times in terms of, you know, and they brought it up again yesterday, the 4 or 5 first round draft picks that are going to be playing in Milwaukee next year, right? So whether it's LaRue or Kimmel coming over, or Svechkov, which they drafted a couple years ago. I mean, Askarov, obviously, and then there's Tomasino. They got a wave of first-round picks that are about to be coming over and playing professional hockey. Could they view it as, we already have, like, our next wave that you feel good about? how do you supplement around those guys? I mean, I still think you're going to see a couple moves this week to the current roster that shake things up even more. What does that look like as they move forward here? I don't know. I'm just saying they brought it up probably five times yesterday, the first-round picks that are coming that are a part of this next wave of what they're looking at.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is so on the back end, if they don't deal an Ekholm or a McDonough, they have foot in now, obviously, Yossi. I mean, that's – and again, you can still do things in the offseason. Right. It doesn't have to all happen this week. But if they don't deal those guys this week, it looks more like, okay, and then they got a real veteran and pretty high-paid – core defenseman that doesn't speak to a rebuild either, you know. But I think by the end of this week we may not be talking about that, you know. But at this point, I mean, I think might be a signal, because I agree. I mean, I think Fabro certainly is a strong possibility to be moved. As we've discussed, you're not getting a ton back for Fabro. That
right,
you know. But are they going to move one of those guys? Ekholm or McDonough, which again, McDonough would have to approve. To me, that signals more, yeah, there's at least going to be like a year of young youth and all that, and kind of, you know, might be a struggle on the ice in terms of results. But you're right. If you feel like you have this wave of players and they're going to be good players for you, and now you have all these picks, is there something you can put together to try to get a proven player?
Well, it may be something that you have to wait and see on, right? Like, you know, with Kimmel, who's their first-round pick from this past summer, coming over, I think, you know, David Poile told us a couple weeks ago he might be here by the end of the season in Milwaukee, and then I would assume play a full season next year. You know, if you're a year down the road and you're Barry Trotz and you're looking around and you're like, all right, well, Tomasino's working out pretty well. We feel good about Evangelista, what he could be moving forward. You've got LaRue, you've got Svechkov, that you both drafted. Both those guys in the first round. And we'll see with LaRue. He's got some other stuff going on. Kimmel, that you drafted in the first round. I mean, if you take a look at your roster and you say, all right, well, we like a lot of those guys. And, oh, by the way, fast forward a year from now, the end of the tunnel of the Johansson and Duchesne contracts are closer than they are right now. Then all of a sudden, your money situation starts to look a little bit different if you're the Predators. Whereas you've got some contracts right now that are dragging you down in Johansson and Duchesne and Granlund, and we can go down the list. Well, Johansson's got 2 years left after this one. Duchesne's got 3 years left after this one. I don't know what they're going to do with those contracts this summer. We've talked about the possibility of a buyout for one of them. I'm just saying, if you take next year, if you're Barry Trotz and you're identifying – all right, who can play and who can't with some of your young guys? The picture could change relatively quickly based on your contractual situation.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure. So how about some of these picks, prospect, and Saros for who?
Yeah.
Who do you get?
I don't know. When's Connor McDavid a free agent?
Yeah, but seriously, like, What about one of the Leafs guys?
Yeah.
You know? How about Austin Matthews?
Well, look, I mean, those guys, I mean, there are a lot of teams right now that are, as we know, up against it cap-wise. And the cap's going to go back up. I would assume next year we'll see it go up more than it is this offseason, I think. But we'll wait and see what happens on that front. But at some point, the cap's going to start to go back up, and teams are going to react accordingly there. But I do think with as strapped as teams are right now, even this offseason, like if you're the Predators with the assets that you've now accumulated, you may be able to position yourself to make deals that this time last week you just didn't really think was possible, just based on the draft capital that you've now accumulated.
So what we're saying is Preds – Stanley Cup champion 2025. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Essentially? Okay.
Playing the parade.
Mark it down.
That's right.
Yeah, Trotz sounds like he's ready for a parade based on yesterday, too.
He brought up the parade route a few times yesterday. So we'll see what happens. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. So coming up next, what moves could we see the Predators make in the next few days? How much more active could they be before the NHL trade deadline comes up on Friday? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.